So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And there's a phrase that's there in Philippians chapter 2 where it says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." That's Philippians 2 and verse 5. When you look at that context, it seems to be pointing to the idea of Christ being a servant and be willing to put himself in the service of others for the purpose of for which God has sent him to be. For Christ to be exalted to the right hand of God as the Savior of all mankind, he had to first humble himself to be like a man. And Paul says, use that mindset when you interact with one another. And that's the thing that will cause your relationship to be as God intended. When you start thinking about all the different ways in which Christ came into the world, he was indeed an advocate between man and the Father, and continues to be. In that role and in that position, we can understand that if we had that same mindset of being an advocate that Christ had, it makes it a lot easier whenever we intercede in the disturbances and issues that people sometimes have between one another. The same with the idea of service. But what about the idea of Savior? What is the mindset of a Savior? And how does that mindset help me? And so when you think about what that exactly means, we're going to look at several verses from John. But first, let's look at 1 John chapter 3 once again. I appreciate Luke reading those verses for us. But in 1 John chapter 3, one of the things that is said about him is in verse 5. "And you know that he," speaking of Jesus, "was manifested," or that he was shown, "to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." It's not that Jesus just came, but that his coming to mankind was for a purpose. Jesus' purpose in coming to the earth was to take away the sins of mankind. He came because God observed what it was that Satan had done to mankind. And because of that, he came to this earth. It wasn't just that he came and then saw these things, but he was manifested that he might come to show that these things can be defeated. He defeated them, and so can you. And so in John chapter 3, in verse 17, right after that verse that we know so well that talks about God so loving the world, and that's why he sent his Son. In John 3 and verse 17, it says this. John 3 verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." When you think about Jesus coming as the Savior, he saw mankind and saw what had happened to them, but he did not come to ridicule us. And he did not come for the purpose of condemning us. Now, his condemning would condemn many, the same way it was that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And by that preaching of righteousness, it by necessity condemned others. But Jesus did not come to condemn. Jesus saw people as those who were weary and scattered like sheep. Jesus saw people under the great burden and the weight of sin. And he wanted to lift that burden. That is the mindset of a Savior. And so the question that we're supposed to have then from that is, do we have that same mindset? Do we look at the world around us and see what it is that Satan has done to others, and it causes us to want to react to that as the Savior did? I know the answer to that. You know the answer to that. When you see people who are under this great and tremendous burden of sin, brethren, you know what the answer to that is. You know where that answer is found. You know where relief and comfort is at. And as Kelly was talking about this morning, you can help provide that hope that is indeed a saving hope for a lost and dying world. Your actions can help defeat everything in which Satan has done to this world that we live in. Secondly, Jesus also came because he knew that the way in which you defeat the power of Satan is not going to be through these grandiose means. God did not choose that. What God did choose was the most grand of all things, his spoken word, the truth. People have to come face to face with what the truth is. People have to face that truth and that reality in their lives so that they can actually do something about that thing. In John 18, as Jesus is before Pilate, John 18 and verse 37, "Pilate therefore said to him, 'Are you a king then?' Jesus answers saying this, 'You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.'" If you go to chapter 9 of John, John chapter 9, in verse 39, notice that, and remember that Jesus had just said it's for to bear witness to the truth that he came into the world. Back in John 9, verse 39, he says, "For judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." So one of the things that Jesus reveals to us by this is that when you reveal the truth to some people, it causes some people to have this blinder go up. And other people, it takes that blinder away. And that shows those who are willing, who are ready to accept those truths. But until a person is willing to accept that truth, that blind still remains. Jesus knew that no miracle that he could do would change that. There's no giving of something that Jesus can give, that God can give, that changes that. The only thing that changes that is the truth. It's not sugarcoating it. It's not watering it down. It's not running from it. It's not ignoring it. And it's also not coming, as we looked at that first part, in that condemning manner necessarily that's going to do it. But the truth itself passes judgment upon people. And it has that specific purpose. Also in John chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. John 12, 47 and 48. Jesus says, "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Even Jesus himself showed that he was going to have some very, very hard things to say to people. But even Jesus himself was willing to get out of the way of the words that were spoken to say, "It is not me who is condemning you." That God is even saying to us, "It is not me who is condemning you. It is the words that I am speaking that condemn you." Because these words that I've spoken to you have either caused you to become more blind because you don't want to face the truth, or they've caused those blinders to be removed and there's no need for that judgment to begin with. Are we willing? This is the thing that when you think about the mindset of a Savior, are we willing to just get out of the way of the plain and simple truth being spoken? That it's not my job and it's not me who's doing the condemning if people take it in that matter. Just as it is not me and it's not within my power to do the saving, it is those words themselves that do that. And so Jesus says, "These things will judge you in the end." And so that is the same mindset we should have when we see these. Also, not only did Jesus say that he came to destroy the work of Satan when he saw what it did to mankind, and that the only way to do that is by revealing the truth to all of mankind, but Jesus also taught and came for the purpose of showing that this is really what life is about. Just as it was that the writer of Ecclesiastes, the wise man, teaches us that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That no matter what you obtain in this life, it means nothing if you don't get that one point right. Jesus teaches that as well. In John 10, in verse 10, I think the bulletin said verse 103. There are not 103 verses in John 10. But John 10, verse 10 says this: "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." These things that we talk about when it comes to what it is that saves a person and how a person can come to know God and that salvation that he offers, it's not just that in the life to come that there will be life, but that the life you live now can be more abundant. Wherever you find yourself, whether you find yourself with all the great blessings of this life or whether you find yourself as Lazarus, full of sores and laying at a rich man's gate, you are filled with something that even, again, as Kelly was talking about this morning, this hope that cannot be taken away from us, because it's not just in the things that are tangible, those things that are seen. It's not defined by something I can put my hands on, but it's defined by something that dwells deep within me, that I know my God and my Savior see my need. Jesus said that he came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So again, when we have the mindset that the Savior had as the Savior, we know that the truth is the only thing that sets people free. Because Satan is the one who has bound all of mankind under this yoke, this bondage of sin. And that by revealing the truth, these bonds can be broken free. And that man can truly have the life that God intends for them to have. And so as we offer the invitation tonight, that's what's being offered to you, is the life that God intends for you to have. Because we can, just as Jesus did, We can have that same mindset when we work alongside of that person who is not a Christian, when we have those in our family who have strayed from the truth, when we have those things in our life that we need to get straight. Developing that proper mindset in our innermost being makes all the difference, and that's where it starts. And so my question for you tonight is, do you share that same concern? When you look at people, do you see them the same way that Jesus did? Weak and weary, laid down with a tremendous burden. When you see your brethren who are caught up in sin, do you see that as being shackled once again by the things they escaped from? And are you willing to intervene the same way that our Savior did? He was willing to lay aside everything that he had of privilege that he might save those who were willing to come to the truth. Is that your mindset? If you're subject to the invitation tonight, if you need to start your walk with God by having your sins washed away in baptism, or you need to repent and come back to God, this is your chance to do so. We'd love to help you if we can. As together we stand and sing, won't you please come?